I don't like to preach what I'm going to preach on this morning. There's certain subjects the preacher likes to preach on. One of the things I'm going to say this morning is some things that say, but it's needful. It hurts, but it helps. And everywhere you go, people got so much problems, you hate to just make it even worse. But if we're ever going to get anywhere for God, we're going to have to tear down before we can build up. Tear down the sin, build up in righteousness. Clear out the weeds and grow you a good garden. Before a person can ever grow a decent garden, they got to plow first. That means something got to cut down in there and turn some things over and tear some things up, junk up some roots and rocks and just make a big mess. And then it's proper for the seed to fall on so that they can have a garden. And this morning I'm going to be very brief and to the point. I tried, you wouldn't believe how I tried, just to keep from having to preach what I'm going to preach on anymore. I wanted to preach on something else. But the Lord didn't let me get away from this thought, and somebody's here this morning that He's dealing with and going to speak to. No doubt about it. 1 Kings chapter 20, and look at verse 35. 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 35. You'll read with me there as you look on with me. Bible said there in verse 35, "And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor, in the word of the Lord." That means the Lord was giving these things. It was right. "Smite me, I pray thee." And the man refused to smite him. "Then said he unto him, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee." And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. Then he found another man and said, "Smite me, I pray thee." And the man smote him, so that in smiting he wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, "Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man, if by any means he be missing. Then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver." And as thou busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, "So shall thy judgment be, thyself hast decided it." And he hasted and took the ashes away from face, and the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people." And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for our help and our strength and all the many, many, many blessings, Lord, that You've given us. Thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for what we've heard already. Thank You, Lord, that we're able to walk in these doors, open our Bibles and sing and pray, have fellowship with You and with each other. Lord, I pray that You'd help us not to take it lightly, knowing that we'll give an account someday. Now, Lord, You know the message, Lord, that I believe that You've laid on my heart. God, I need Your help this morning if I'm to say what will help these people. God, may the Holy Spirit of the Lord take these lips of clay, anoint me with fresh oil to declare Thy word with power and authority and the way You'd have it preached. And Lord, what ought to be done in every heart, save the lost, reclaim those who are walking afar off or a guilty distance. And whatever You do for us, we'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Jesus' sake, amen. One of the hardest things to get people to do these days is to get people to admit that it's their fault for the mess they're in. In this story that I read to you this morning, Ahab, get me down just a little bit, will you, boys? Was supposed to have been, had been Hadad. The king was supposed to have had been Hadad in captivity, but had fooled around and let him get away. Now God spoke to one of his men, and he was a prophet, and his job was to rebuke the king for the sin that he had committed. And you'll notice in reading the Old Testament that many, many times God uses an Old Testament prophet to rebuke kings and wise men and nations when he gets ready to. And sometimes the Lord uses an Old Testament prophet, and they'll have to do some crazy things to illustrate what a nation is doing. For example, Hosea the prophet. Israel as a nation had gone a whoring away from God. They were running around on him like a woman ran on her husband. God told Hosea the prophet to marry an unfaithful woman to illustrate to Israel what they were doing to God. And Hosea knew what it was like to have his wife out running around on him. He knew the heartache. He knew the brokenness. He knew the hurt and the pain. And God knew that that would give him a broken heart to preach to Israel, who was running around on her husband, Jehovah. And sometimes God let these Old Testament prophets, they had some strange ministries, brother. They had to do some wild things that God told them to do to illustrate something that he was trying to teach a nation. Now in this story, a prophet came and he said, I want to illustrate the king what he's done. So, and by way of introduction, you got to get this to get the point of the message. He came along, he said, this fella, he said, how about stabbing me? Now, you know, that was a weird request. God's men can want some weird things sometimes. It's not every day you meet somebody on the street and they walk up to you and say, here's my switchblade. Would you mind stabbing me or cutting my throat? And this guy says, you crazy, man. I ain't gonna stab you when I'm walking down the road. Here's another guy comes along. He says, smite me. And now, if you were in a bad mood that day and you were looking for somebody to smite, that'd be a blessing. Wouldn't you like to, you know, just have, you'd be about ready to explode and walk out and somebody say, would you hit me right? Bow! You wouldn't even give them time to get the words out of their mouth. But anyway, he got this guy, talked into stabbing him. So he stabbed him, put ashes on his face, and rolled over in the ditch like he's about dead. And then here come the king. He said, King, I need to talk to you for a minute. Ahab. And he said, yes, sir, what can I do for you? And he said, I was keeping this fellow in my custody, illustrating what the king was doing. And he said, I was messing around over there, wasn't paying any attention, and he run off, and now they're going to kill me. And the king looked back at him, and he made a statement. And I hate to use King Ahab to quote for a message this morning, but that's who I'm going to use and quote him for a message. He is a wicked old boy. I mean, he is full of the devil as some Baptist I've met. And that old fella, he looked back at that boy and he said this. In verse 40, so shall thy judgment be, thyself hast decided it. Now he said a mouthful there. He was complaining to the king, and he said, King, you gotta help me. I was supposed to have been watching the guy, and I wasn't watching him, and now he's got away, and they're gonna kill me. And the king says, did you do it willingly? And the man said, yeah. He said, did you take the responsibility to watch him? And the man said, yeah. He said, was it your job to watch him? He said, yeah. He said, you didn't watch him? He said, well, no, I wasn't paying attention. He said, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself hast decided it. He said, you got yourself into this mess, big buddy. You face your judgment. If you had a title for this message this morning, and it's going to be short and not very sweet, it would be, you made your bed, lay in it. That wouldn't go over too good on PTL show.
or the 700 Club. The thought of the message in, you asked for it, man. You got it. Don't gripe about it. And that's a thought God put on my heart for this service this morning. It's hard to get people to admit these days that it's their fault they're in the mess they're in. Now, I hesitate by saying that because some people just have bad breaks. Some people just, it seems like bad things continually happen to them. But I'll tell you something I've noticed. And I've been around for a little while now, and I've been preaching for 14 years. And I've been saved since I was 18, preaching since I was 19. And I'll tell you something that I've noticed. About 99% of our problems could have been avoided had somewhere back up the road somewhere we hadn't have got out of God's will somewhere. You let that soak in, and especially you young people this morning. And I'm not trying to pour salt this morning. I'm not trying to make a bad day worse. I'm not trying to heap coals of fire on your head or nothing like that. But if we're ever going to get help from God, we are going to have to quit pointing and accusing finger at God like it's His fault. He ain't treated us right and we don't deserve this and all that. And start saying, we're the blame for the shape we're in this morning. I'm taking up for the Lord this morning. I'm getting sick and tired. Everywhere I go, I meet people and they say, well, if God loves me, why is this happening to me? And why is that happening to me? Mean old God. He sits up there in heaven tormenting us poor. No, sir, brother. No, sir. God is good. God is love. God is holy. It's our fault we're in the mess we're in this morning. We brought it on ourselves. You made your bed? Lay in it and don't complain. Adam and Eve, way back yonder in the Garden of Eden, went over there and the devil, of course, tempted Eve. She ate of the fruit, gave to her husband, he ate of the fruit. Now about that time, here come the Lord through the garden. The Lord says, Adam, where you at? And Adam and Eve, of course, had hid themselves because they'd sinned. And the Lord called Adam to judgment. And he said, Adam, what'd you do? And Adam said, Lord, I've done wrong. I've eaten of the fruit. And the Lord said, you eat of the fruit, huh? But Adam said, now listen, Lord, you don't understand. You know this woman that you gave me? You gave her to me. What was he doing there? That's human nature, brother. That's that old human nature. Now, what does this sound like? Now, Lord, I wouldn't eat that fruit if you hadn't have gave me this woman. Boy, that's getting pretty big for your britches or fig leaf, ain't it, Adam? I mean, come on, man. Are you trying to tell me it's God's fault that you ate that fruit? Listen, brother, here's a man talking to God Almighty and saying, well, Lord, I'm really not that bad. I wouldn't have done that if you hadn't have given me that wife you gave me.
You want me to stop right here? Every head bowed, every eye shut.
I speak unto thee in parables, brother. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you know what he done? He turned to Eve and said, all right, let's hear it. And she said, she didn't waste a second, son. She never batted an eye. She went, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said, well, whose fault is this around here? And he turned to the devil and said, who you gonna blame? There wasn't nobody else to blame. And you know, the devil done this, the devil done that. But God looked at Adam, he passed the buck. God looked at Eve, she passed the buck. And she blamed it on the devil. The man blamed it on his wife. The wife blamed it on the devil. Which means that we do a lot of things we blame the devil for when it wasn't the devil at all. We decided what we'd do. We decided where we'd go wrong. And son, we better begin to bear the responsibility of our action. He said, your judgment be. You decided it. He said, I'm going to run you out of the Garden of Eden. But Lord, don't you think this is a little harsh? Don't look at me. You made the choice to eat the fruit. I told you not to. I told you what would happen if you did. Now don't gripe about your punishment. Brother, I'm about sick up to here with people griping about the punishment of their sins when all along God told them not to do it, and God warned them and to preach to them, and they decided to go which way they'd go. And the Lord says, so shall thy judgment be, brother. Thou made your bed, thou must lay in it.
You chose it.
You preach to the women nowadays.
You can preach till you're blue in the face.
Bring your kids up in church. Take them to Sunday school. Get them into class. It's important that they be there. It's more important than a little league ball game. It's more important than an activity from school. Get your kids in church. Teach them the Bible. Pray with them. Pray with them. You know what a lot of parents do? Mama just sits there and says, well, they didn't get their homework done, so I let them stay home and do their homework. They didn't get this done, and they were sleepy, and they had to have sleep. And so I didn't bring them every night to the revival or the Bible conference because they were sleepy and all that. You know what? 4 or 5 years later, there'll be a knock on my office door. And they'll come in, they'll sit down, and they'll cry. And they'll say, Brother Danny, can you talk to him? Boy, he's ever since he turned 14 or 15, I just can't do nothing with him. And I suspect he's smoking dope, and I don't know who he's out running around with. Why did God let this happen to me? I mean, I thought God would be better to me than this. I look back at him, and I say, wait a minute, sister. You remember back there 4 or 5 years ago when I was preaching to you, and I said, get them in Sunday school, and I said, get them in the Bible, and I said, pray with them, and I said, have family altar. Thyself hast decided your judgment. It's your fault. You made your bed. Now lay in it. I hate to talk to you like that, but that's the way the Lord laid a message on my heart this morning. I've had them in my office, and they'd cry, and they'd say, preacher, why is this happening to me? And I knew exactly why it was happening to them. I know this morning that God don't punish us according to our sins. And I know this morning that if God marked iniquities, none of us could stand. And I know this morning that, brother, something terrible could happen to me before the day is over. And I know something terrible could happen to you before the day. I'm not saying that bad things are always a result of sin. I'm just saying most of the time, things that come our way could have been avoided somewhere back down the road. We miss God's will for our lives. Brother, the more I counsel people, it's been a real education several years because people come to me with problems I never heard tell of. Man, I get an education like that. I want you to know. I mean, I'm meeting people in different states, and man, they'll get me out to churches. Fellas got me down at a church in Florida the other night, took me in the back room, sat on that, and man, asked me some hard questions, said, what are we going to do? And I begin to notice something. You begin to notice a pattern after a while. And you begin to notice that somewhere back down the road, something went wrong somewhere. Somewhere God gave them a choice and they went the wrong way. Somewhere God said, I'll give you this way or that way. They chose the wrong way and now they're paying the price. Now, I don't mean to condemn you this morning. You might have bad enough as it is. But what I'm trying to get you to do is place the blame where it belongs. And it's the only way God can ever help you is if you start from the ground and say, all right, Lord, I deserve it. I had it coming. The philosophy of our generation is, you can do it. Believe in yourself. And how good you are. My philosophy is, you are meaner than the devil. If God, and I am too. And if you're here this morning and you try to act like you're so good, let me talk to your wife about 15 minutes. And if she'd be on it, or let me talk to your husband 15 minutes. We're all no good. We're an unclean thing. You know, in the public schools nowadays, they say we got to build these kids' self-image. My job is to tear it down, tell you how sorry you are, and tell you how mean you are and how mean I am. And God can help us if we'll humble ourselves like that. There's not a little spark of good in you that I'm up here trying to fan, and good in every man. If we just change our beliefs and our habits and our prejudices and do this and that, we'll grow to be a great people. No, man is depraved. He's mean as a devil. He'll run to evil every chance he gets. You can take an old hog and wash him up and, brother, put, grease him down, scrub him with coast. soap, and then cover him with Halston Brother and Chanel Number 5 and Obsession. And as soon as you go of him, wrap a big bow around his neck, he'll go right back to the mud hole because that's all he knows. And we're going to have to admit that we're sinners. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. And brother, quit pointing a accusing finger at God for the messes that we get ourselves into. In church, I've seen that happen in churches. Here's a church doing pretty good or doing pretty bad. And everywhere I go to preaching revival, they say, "Oh, Brother Danny preached to us. We need revival." And they say, "Well, we used to have this. Boy, we used to have a big crowd. We used to have souls being saved. The shout used to be in the camp. We could rejoice. We could have a big time. And but it's just dead. It's 4 o'clock now. And see, nobody cares. Nobody's faithful. Can't even get up a good enough crowd to have a Wednesday night service. And what's wrong?" I begin to ask questions. Before the week's over, I find out some things. I found out that way back there, they prayed, they fasted, they sought God, they went visiting, they knocked on doors, they were faithful, they read the Bible, they abstained from the world, they hated the flesh and the sin of the world, but little by little, that God just kind of got boring to them. And it kind of got to be the norm in the church and getting a blessing. And little by little, the people in the church started yakking about each other. And started telling everything they know about each other. And started running their mouth and running each other down until nobody had any confidence in nobody else. And destroyed the power in the church. And brother, all I know to do is say, "You asked for it, man. You got it. This is the way you chose to go." I mean, you could have been in here shouting this morning. You could have been in here praising God this morning. You chose to gossip. You chose to be unfaithful. You chose. Now you pay the consequences. You see, we want the best of both worlds nowadays. We want to enjoy the world and the devil and the flesh and everything, but still have the blessings of God at the same time. You can't have them both. I can look around here this morning if I wanted to, and I could show you people. Call them by name. That spiritually this morning is miserable. Miserable. And I could pinpoint where they got off at. Taking the blessings of God for granted and then complain to God that things ain't what they used to be. God will give us whatever kind of church we want. God will give us you what kind of home you want. God will give you what kind of spiritual life this you got this morning. Here's something that's going to be hard for you to admit. And I don't blame you for being quiet. I'd be quiet if somebody's up here telling me this, what I'm telling you. You know how spiritual you are this morning? I hate to say this, but you're as spiritual as you want to be. Oh. Don't talk to me like that, Brother Danny. I thought I was doing pretty good. And I've been blaming. I thought, boy, Lord, if you'd kill my husband, I'd really get right. And if this happened, if I get my bills paid and get that better job, no, man, no! You're just as close to God as you want to be this morning. You can't blame somebody else. I'm talking to myself. I'm as right with God as I want to be. You say, Brother Danny, what? God ain't playing no hide-and-go-seek, man. He'll be found of you if you'll seek Him. God will bless you if you want Him to. God will forgive your sins if you'll trust Him and pray. You're no more right with God than you want to be. And the reason you're cold, and the reason some of you won't be back here tonight, and you don't give God a flip till next Sunday morning, is because you chose to live that life. Don't come whining to me when bad things happen. If you're bad, you made it, you lay in it. Can't hear you. I hate to talk to you like that because I love you. But that's the only way God can help you is for somebody to reach out and grab you and shake you and jaw you and say, "Hey man, things can be better if we'll start placing the blame where it belongs and start saying, 'God, it's me. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's the old Lord. It's me. Oh Lord, it's me.'" I've heard preachers get up and throw off on the church. It ain't the church, it's the preacher. I've heard churches throw off on the preacher. Brother, it's time we quit blaming everybody else for how sorry we are. It's our judgment. We decided it. We'll lay in it.
Americans don't like that kind of talk.
Let me ask you something.
If you get out right here on this street, that's East Court Street, but it's also Highway 70. That way's east, that way's west.
If you disagree with that, you know what that means? It don't mean one thing in this world. That's just the way it is. You say, well, you're just preaching your opinion. Friend. That way's east, and that way's west. You say, well, I've always believed it. Well, you're wrong. Don't get mad at me, brother. I didn't make the map. You know, people can't stand the preacher talking like that. They'll say, well, he just thinks he's right, and my opinion's as good as his. Not if it's wrong, it ain't. No way, brother. What if I get up and I say, it's wrong to commit adultery and fool around, shack up somebody you ain't married to? Somebody will say, well, but that's just the way his interpretation and the way I believe, I feel like in my situation. No kitty pie. No sweetie. Or should I say slut? No, honey, it's not right, regardless of what you think of it, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what's happened to you, it's wrong. That's not my opinion, that's what the book says. See, my opinion ain't no good. If you want to hear opinions, you shouldn't have come this morning. You ought to watch Phil Donahue. You'd hear plenty of them, ain't none of them worth listening to. If you want to hear the truth and what's right and wrong, you're in the right place. What you do when you go out here and get on this highway? That's Highway 70. East, west. You say, I know a guy that believes that way's east. Big deal. That way's west, that way's east. Don't believe it? Go up here to City Hall and get you a map. The map's the final authority. And it settles it. Our opinion means nothing. I'll tell you what you do. You go out there on that street right there, point your car down that way and drive 20 miles. And in 21 or 22 miles or there, about 19, somewhere along there, you're going to start seeing the signs. And those signs say, Morganton. So that's your opinion. Go try it and see. And you're going to say, I'm in Morganton. I don't want to be in Morganton. I had no right lining up here in Morganton. God, why'd you let me come to this place? God, I didn't deserve this. I mean, nothing personal for you folks that live in that way. I'm just using it for an example. Lord, I shouldn't have come to Morganton. And the Lord says, what are you fussing at me for? You got in your car. You pointed it east. You drove the 20 miles. Whose fault is it you're in Morganton? And you know, but Lord, hey man, it's your fault. Listen, some of you's in a mess this morning, and you're saying, God, why'd this happen? God saying, what are you fussing at me for? You remember back there when you chose to go down that road? You remember 2 years ago? You remember a year and a half ago? Remember 6 months ago? Remember last week? Don't grab at me because you're Morganton if you get in your car and drive that way and wind up there. Nobody made you. Girl sat in my office not too long ago.
You long, your lady? Bawling. She had messed up her life. Her and her husband were separated. She run around with married men. And our ships were coming in, her chickens coming home to roost. She was in my office bawling and crying about how God had mistreated her. You know. And
why does God let this happen to me? I thought He loved me. God.
Man, I wanted to slap her. But I didn't. I wanted to jar in their senses. I want to say, the Lord tell you to go run around with that other woman's husband? Well, did He? Did the Lord put it on your heart as you were praying and reading your Bible? Fool around with somebody you ain't married to? Well, what are you grabbing to Him about? He told not to.
He told you for your own good. His way's best. The only way to be happy and blessed is do what God tells you. You can't do against what God tells you to do and then gripe because things don't turn out rosy.
The man
I went and talked to one time in Broughton Hospital. I happened to be in Morganton also.
He's down there. He's an alcoholic. He was just shaking. And his mouth wouldn't, he couldn't talk right. And his lips would quiver. And his hand would shake. And
as I begin to talk to some of those fellas, they start talking like this. They give you the impression that I'm not really this bad. It's not me. It's not my fault. This mess. God let this happen and that happen. And in a roundabout way, pointing an accusing finger at the Lord. And my message this morning is to take up for him. I don't like people blaming things on God, and he's the best thing that ever happened to any of us. You better hope and pray to God he don't give us what we deserve.
And brother, I said, hey man, are you listening?
Shall thou judge me? Thou hast decided it.
There's a young lady who's pregnant.
And she's mad.
And balling up her fist. And shaking them to God, saying,
why'd you let this happen?
God says, me?
I'm making you go out with that boy. I don't remember forcing you to the back seat of an automobile or some old sleazy motel room or where so you could practice sin. God didn't do that.
You said, Brother Danny, you made me feel awful now.
That's the way you ought to feel. And that's the way I ought to feel so God can help us. I don't enjoy making you feel bad. I just know that's the only way we can get help from God is to realize we have found the enemy, and they is us.
One of these days in hell,
when people are cast into the lake fire, they'll curse. The Bible said in the tribulation, they'll ball up their fists, they'll curse God. And the Lord says, I gave you the choice. You were at New Manna Baptist Church, such and such a day, such and such a time. All you had to do was go up that altar and get right and get saved and go to heaven. That's all you had to do. And you chose not to. Now don't blame me. And God will slam the door of hell and people will be there forever and ever and ever. And on those big walls of hell, you may hear the voice of Ahab ringing, so shall thy judgment be. Thou hast decided it. Let's pray. I know this is a very hard message for some of you to swallow this morning. If you're a visitor here this morning, I know that you probably haven't heard nothing that strong in a long time. But you just remember one thing, friend. God brought you here for a reason today. This is serious, serious business. Somebody in here this morning needs to move. Somebody in here this morning, God's speaking to your heart. Somebody in here this morning, somebody here this morning, God is dealing with you. Some are already coming forward this morning. You can't blame God. Now, God will help you. God will help you. But you've got to come clean with Him first. Amen. Thank God. Others are coming. Others are coming. Others are coming this morning. God may be dealing with your heart, friend.
Well, just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, this is the invitation. Come on, get up out of your seat right now. Come on, that's right. Others, maybe some of you ladies could help pray. Maybe some of you men could help pray if somebody you need see needs help in prayer. God may be speaking to your heart this morning, knocking at your door. I don't want to sound like a prophet of doom, folks. I don't want to condemn you. I want to help you. The best way I know how to help you is tell you the truth. I know I've got myself in many a mess. Many a mess has been my fault. I've tried to confess it to the Lord. I'll probably be in a lot more before it's over with, and it'll be my fault. Quit blaming your husband or your wife, your son or your daughter, your mama, your daddy. Body don't make you sin. When it comes down to the nitty-gritty, you sin because you choose to sin. And I do too. Just well face it. If you're here this and you don't want to go to hell, you've never been saved by the grace of God, why don't you just make that choice this morning? You can go to heaven or hell, friend. You can go to heaven. Why don't you just get up out of your seat, young man, young lady? Right now, come on. Come on, just get up out of your seat right now. Christians are praying, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Get out of your seat right now. Amen. Amen. Come on, right now. Come on, just get up out of your seat and come. Don't be ashamed. Everybody's got to face this thing sooner or later. Don't be afraid. Would you come right now? Would you come? Right now. Come on. Get out of your seat and come. Who'll be next? Anybody else? Anybody else? Father, do what ought to be done in this invitation. Lord, there's somebody here, no doubt, that needed this. Lord, I pray it hit home where it's supposed to. For you get the glory. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing this verse of Just As I Am without one plea. As these are filling the altars praying this morning, maybe God's dealt with your heart. Husband, wife, mom, dad, why don't you come and turn it all over to Jesus? Come on, right now. Just get out of your seat. Amen. 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 Come on. Come on, right now. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Just get out of your seat. Come on to Jesus. Amen. Don't wait. Tomorrow might be too late. One more verse. We'll sing one more verse. This is your chance. You need to come. Come on. Come on right now. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Just turn it over to Him. You can start out brand new. You can start out with a new direction, a new purpose. Amen. Amen. Lord, for what He's doing up here this morning. Hallelujah. Now, folks, what I preached this morning is not easy to swallow. And it's not going to be easy for some of you. Say, Brother Danny, if you knew the situation I live in and trying to live right, I didn't say it'd be easy. It may very well cost you. But what I'm saying is, you can do right if you want to. If you want to bad enough, you can do right. Some of you that have a good home situation, good job, good health, you ought to be a special help to these that don't. Encourage them. Help them by love. God will help us all. But you know what? You can change directions this morning. You can say, hey, I've been going down the wrong road. I won't get on the right road. Then one of these days the Lord will say, have a bunch of blessings. You done the right thing back there. You decide. The devil will point you out a nice looking little easy road. As soon as you get around the first curve, brother, there's nothing but rocks and stumps and holes and robbers and thieves waiting on you. The straight and narrow way looks like it's straight up, but if you'll climb it, keep going, it'll smooth out after a while. Anybody else need to come? Anybody else need to come? Be worth it. It'll be worth it. Do right when you don't feel like it. Do right when you don't want to. It'll pay off one of these days. Amen. While these are still praying, we'll wait just a few seconds. Maybe somebody else needs to come. I hope you've made things right this morning. I'm glad we've got a God that can forgive you and put you back on the right track. Amen. The Lord's judgments are strong and sure, but I'm glad His mercy is there to pick you up when you confess it.
Amen.
Amen. All right. If all minds and hearts clear, we'll let you go right there. Be here at 5:30, all the young people. You don't have to be a member of the church. Come on. 5:30, youth choir. 7 o'clock, bring somebody with you to the service. Good day, Lord.